aber braucht dann die Hilfe der Mexikaner, die gegen Schweden gewinnen müssen. Sie haben so viel an Standards gedürftet. Groß! Er macht das Tor! Toni Kroos, 2:1! Das ist nicht zu fassen, halten Sie mich fest! Und er macht alles wieder gut. Toni Kroos versenkt das Ding! 2:1, versenkt Schweden, ich fass es nicht!
Welcome to the Three Beards World Cup podcast. The World Cup is in full swing. We're over halfway finished. I am here with Ken Lee of the Three Beards EPL podcast and Arsenal Fandom. How are we doing, Ken?
Fantastic.
And I'm here with James Lewis of Manchester City Fandom. James, how are the City players doing right now?
John Stones making a big push for a golden boot. In this World Cup now, I think we're turning it around from where we were before. And doing great.
So John Stones is making a push. He scored 2 goals, and we'll go over that game. But good luck catching the Golden Boot leader. Own goal, Augie the Og, 6 goals already, guys. What are your thoughts on them already tying the record for own goals in a tournament set in 1998 with 6? Ken, thoughts?
It's the World Cup. Some people weren't made for the big stage, Thomas.
Okay, so my problem before, and we talked about this, is that they give deflections all the time.
Yeah, and like exactly. What an own goal is now. I mean, it's kind of suspect to me. It used to be if the ball was going on frame and it was deflected, it's not an own goal. Now if it like touches a jersey of a defender, it's an own goal. So, I don't know. Whatever to me. I don't really look too much into the own goal, honestly.
James, with you being really familiar with own goals, how do you feel about own goals?
I do agree with Ken that I think the occasion is getting to a few players, but I think you both come off as kind of crazy talking about this new own goal.
What do you mean?
It's an own goal. If it's a shot on goal and it's redirected, or better yet, if it's off target and it's redeflected in, it's an own goal.
Well, that's an own goal for sure, James. I'll agree with you. But if it's on target and it was presumably going in the back of the net anyway, just because it deflects off a defender, doesn't make it an own goal.
You can't presume that, though.
I'm presuming it.
I think you can. I mean,
I'm presuming it.
If it's a shot on target and you can't say, okay, the goalie would have saved it or he wouldn't have saved it. You can just say it was a shot on target, the defender made it go into the back of the net. That's an own goal.
I mean, I see that your way does resolve any argument ever. I understand that. But I guess, agree to disagree on this. I don't think it matters.
Last thing, I think it's really hard on the defenders because you can go home, like the guy in Australia who deflected Pogba's ball that went over the goalie's head and in, like, that's not an own goal. You go home and you got to tell your kids you scored an own goal in the World Cup, you know? Like, that sucks.
Or you could spin it and say, hey, I just got done playing in the World Cup.
And I scored.
Yeah. And I scored. We don't look at what we lost, Thomas. We look at what we gained.
That's enough. A positive mindset.
Fair enough. All right, so we will move to actual goals here. We will start with the Germany game, which was amazing. There's been so many late games in this one, and by late games, I mean late winners. Germany 2, Sweden 1. Sweden goes up 1-0, and then the machine comes into play here. My headline in this one for you, James, is Toni Kroos reignites the machine.
That's pretty good.
Is that dramatic?
Except it should have been Toni Kroos salvages a draw because Sweden should have been 2-0 up with a penalty that wasn't called.
Fair.
So my alternate title would be VAR conspires with Toni Kroos to salvage woeful Germany tournament.
Woeful Germany.
Yeah. They're just not doing it. They're not doing it for me. And this is Sweden, just they're not that good. They fought hard. Germany should be plowing these teams over, and they're having to scrape by with a terrible attack and even worse defense. Boateng deserves to sit out the rest of the tournament, although that might be an advantage for Germany at this point, the way he's been playing.
Is it the gray hair? You think it's the gray hair that's holding him back?
Yeah, what was that?
I would say that Boateng, up until that moment, I mean, maybe I was watching a different game, but he was pretty integral in the attack for Germany, that game specifically. He was creating a lot of space.
He was much worse in the first game. He did more in this game.
Exactly. But, I mean, it's the group stage. It's group stage for a reason. I mean, do I think that Germany, if they continue to play the way they are now, do they go far in the knockout? I don't know.
They haven't played against a top-tier team yet, and he's still being found out. So that's why I'm saying...
Sure. I agree with you. I agree.
But anyway, red card for a stupid challenge.
Yeah, what a moron.
Another question about why wasn't VAR used. I just don't know why... Like, if you're going to use VAR, use it. Right? So...
Yeah.
If you even took a look at that, it's a penalty.
Right on the edge there, and you have to say Sweden going up 1-0 and having to have Germany fight back here, you'd have to say that it was... I wouldn't call it a vintage German performance in the World Cup. A lot of people were saying that. It's like, oh, it's Germany in the World Cup, and they're just going to win. It's like...
How can that be vintage if they had to win it in 96 minutes?
I mean, the last kick of the game is a free kick that you hardly ever see. Brilliant free kick. Oh, man, what an unbelievable free kick.
Yeah,
there's absolutely a lot of different styles of free kicks. You know, you have the one that goes up over the wall, the one that goes around the wall, the one that goes under the wall, bounces before the keeper, etc. I don't think I've seen that one be scored before.
Dude, that was amazing. Which I really like. I mean...
Yeah, I mean, all the credit to Toni Kroos, but... For Germany a millisecond, missing that...
you were Germany. You were German. And you were pumped that went in.
You not had me. To be.
Even as a fan of the game, James, you liked seeing that go in. I mean, that was pretty awesome.
Maybe you. Me.
That's because Ken is going to be talking himself into Toni Kroos in like 2 weeks going to Arsenal. That's why.
No, I would never do that. We already spent our $50 million, so.
Yes, as you. But, I mean, a brilliant bending ball into the corner. You have to say that of the goals so far, is that the most important, James?
Otherwise Germany's out.
Oh, yeah, importance? There's no question.
Yeah.
It's more important than Salah scoring a one goal against Saudi Arabia, that's for sure.
Yeah, we will get into that game shortly. I want to finish up a little bit with Germany. We've already harped on this several times, but not really with Ken around. Ken, we talk a lot about Leroy Sané's dynamism off the bench and how we expected him to be a major role player. Germany has had opportunities for substitutes when they're losing, which I think they weren't expecting in just about all their matches, actually. I think all their matches, now that I think about it. And
so far.
Yeah, and they've needed a guy to come off the bench, and Royce is good to come off the bench, but you have to say that Leroy Sané is a wild card beyond even Royce, in my opinion, and they really needed a player like him. How much do you think they lose by not having brought Leroy Sané?
I mean, I don't know if it speaks to maybe the arrogance of Germany not bringing him, but my question is, how can you not?
Yeah, like, that's what
do
I
you have
to.
So many good players that you're going to leave this guy off the squad? Yeah. You don't need someone lightning fast that can create speed, that can pass, and that can score goals. You don't need that. Now look at you. You barely beat a Sweden, and you got smacked more than the 1-0 shows in the Mexico game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is a big problem, and I think that they're going to rue the day. Maybe not rue the day they left Sané in Germany, yeah, but they're going to, I think, come to... It's going to come to a head when they get knocked out first round of the knockout stage, and you look at the squad that they chose to bring. I mean, you have a youth player that's going, like, not youth, but younger, that's going to be maybe the future of the nation, and you leave him at home?
Yeah, I'd really like to hear more.
23 spots!
I'd really like to hear more.
If Sané doesn't make 23...
The way that this team's been playing, people are talking about Sané coming off the bench, but honestly, Sané could
No, he should be starting the way these guys are playing. Yeah. How many times have you watched the Germany game? You've watched them now for 180 minutes. I've seen only Thomas Mueller, you know, disgusted the whole entire time.
Yeah.
Toni Kroos with bits of brilliance, just like he showed in that game. And everyone else just kind of lounging around. It's like they never even prepared. They're like, oh, the group stage is Mexico and Sweden? Yeah, forget it. We're through. And now look at them. Barely going to make it through. Like,
with just seconds to spare. And you have to say, Sweden should feel hard done on this one. I mean, they put up a great battle again here, and you would think that that would mean that you would get through, but that's just not the way the World Cup works. And now this group, just like a lot of these groups, is up for grabs. Mexico on 6 points, Germany on 3 points, Sweden on 3 points, both of them with a zero goal differential. And it turns into a real cluster if Sweden beats Mexico and Germany wins. Then everybody's sitting on 6 points. And I looked up some of the tiebreakers, guys. Yeah, some of the tiebreakers here are absurd. They include things like fouls. And by that, I mean cards given out. That's like fourth, and it right now it would come into play. Cards given out.
With the red card, yeah.
Germany goes home.
It also includes the drawing of lots at the sixth stage, I think, which is absolutely absurd. So, I mean, you got a lot of different things happening. The only thing we know about Group F right now is that South Korea is out, despite putting up a decent fight against Mexico. Mexico gets a professional win here. I would say that this group ended up being a lot more interesting than we thought. Mexico, of course, has to be proud of the way they're playing. They win 2-1 here. And what did you guys think of the Koreans in this World Cup overall, James?
I think that the plan of have Sun do something just turned out to not be good enough. And other than that, they didn't really have much to say.
I have nothing to say about South Korea. I'm going to change the point on you a little bit. Is anyone else as annoyed as I am about having to watch a Mexico game commentated by a Mexican national fan?
Fernando Fiore, is that his name?
Yes.
It's a little annoying.
It kind of ruins the game for me. I was telling Tom through text, it's like if I were given the opportunity to commentate an Arsenal game, no one would listen because no. Everything would be fantastic that Arsenal was winning. Yeah. It's like, and he commentates it as if like I watch games at home.
Right.
What was it that what like Lozano kicked it over the goal on like the 6-yard line? He said, "Oh, Lozano, you're killing me."
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's because they don't have a counterpoint to it. Like, I love watching like the old Fan Zone broadcast that they used to have, where they had two fans from the opposing teams commenting against each other.
Exactly right.
Because you get both sides. But when you're just listening to a Mexican fan, you know, talk about Mexico, wax lyrical about Mexico playing, it's just not.
I have no problem not charming. Listening to it because like he's a Mexican fan. But if we're gonna do that, we need to bring someone in from the opposing nation.
Yeah.
Just like you just said, like because it's all fan. It's all fan like.
I think that would be awesome, actually. They should have an alternative broadcast where they do that.
Well, I mean, you know, their rival is us. We need to say that.
That was off target. That was off topic anyway. It was just like a little rant that I had. I almost had to mute it at points.
Yeah, he might just be obnoxious, period. I don't really know if it matters to me that he...
Love when Mexico scores, though. I love the 45-second goal.
Oh, I don't like that.
I love it.
I think that's awesome. It's like they ripped off a guy a long time ago, and they just keep doing the same call. I prefer the Iceland call where the guy destroys his larynx, just screaming his brains out. Like that's what clapping. I prefer. Yeah, I like
the
that
aggressive
a lot more.
Clap. It's more like a stomp.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I celebrate every KDB pass.
Just voice just cracking.
Voice just yeah
shattering
ripping my throat in half just to scream primal scream from the depths of my bowels.
I think that's fair. Well, let's continue on with Mexico here. All right, so this is the best Mexico has played since 2002, which, you know, they say that all the time and you're like, wow, that's such a long time, that's like 16 years, but really it's only like 4 World Cups. Just saying,
still
like,
16 years no matter how you slice
they,
it,
they
Tommy.
Still yeah. talk about it like that. I don't like that. Their performance against Germany was better, but...
What does that even mean? I need you to elaborate. Like, it's still 16 years. It's a long time.
But it's like 8 matches. Like, you don't talk like 8 matches in the Premier League. Like, it's an amazing feat. I'm just saying, like...
Tom, they've come a long way from Chicago Fire era Blanco. Let's just put it that way.
Guadalajara Blanco, is that his name? I can't ever pronounce his name.
I just say Blanco because I don't try the first name.
Yeah, well... They win here, a pretty polished win. Vela and Hernandez score. Hernandez is always going to get his goal in the World Cup. You knew that. Now, I have to ask, I'll start with you, Ken. As a huge United States men's national team fan, do you think Mexico can go on through to the next round? I mean, they're already probably through. Do you think that they could do anything else in the tournament? I'm not asking you who they're playing next. I'm saying, Do you think this is a team that can move forward?
I mean, if you're talking about, you know, form rather than, you know, anything else, then you have to kind of be on the side of the Mexican national team right now. They're doing exactly what is needed to progress through a semi-difficult group. I mean, any group with Germany is going to be ridiculously hard to get through. But if you go strictly form, I think you have no choice but to say that they make it at least past the first round of knockout. Maybe even almost no matter who they play. I mean, Spain's already playing Russia. I mean, that's Spain's a big club, a big nation. That's one out. I mean, who do they even play? Like, who would they even play? Like, who's... It's all systematic. I mean,
they could end up playing Brazil. They're going after that group.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to get too much of a tangent, but...
Yeah, it's hard. Brazil, I don't want to get into too many hypotheticals yet because...
Yeah, but I mean, right now, specifically, strictly form, I say it's hard to say that they won't at least show out professionally.
Yeah, they've got the ability to win a game on their day. I think they'll put up a good performance, whoever they play against. I don't see a deep run for them, especially if they come up against a Brazil.
Oh, yeah.
But they're not going to go home. They can go home with their heads held high, I think, no matter who they come up against. They'll put a good show on.
All right, and that would put them through.
Okay, another question. They beat Germany 1-0. Let's say everything goes awry. They don't make it out of the group. Is it a successful World Cup for Mexico because they beat Germany?
No.
No.
Okay, I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page here.
And that could really happen. That could definitely happen.
All they need to do is tie Sweden, right?
Yeah. So they'll have lost to Sweden in your scenario, so they should definitely not be happy.
True story, James. True.
Yeah, there are some really interesting tiebreakers that could come in.
Landon Donovan will be sad. I mean, it is the second team.
Man, I've never heard what a loser of any Landon teams, Donovan is. Any team's legendary players on a national team ever holding a flag of a rival, ever.
Dude, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. But either way, neither here nor there. He doesn't deserve any time.
We won't give him any time here. We'll move on to the next match. One of the games that was a little easier than I was expecting was England 6, Panama 1. And I say that because I wasn't expecting England to win by 5 goals or even score. I was score 5 goals. I was expecting 2. And James, you have to say your boy John Stones coming through in a big way, now on the hunt.
And I think he's the dark horse for the Golden Boot.
I would agree.
Yeah, it was a good game. A couple of great goals for John Stones. Not really top-notch opposition, but there you can only beat what's in front of you.
That's very true.
I think the more surprising part of this game was just the cutthroatness of England. You're just not used to seeing that. You're used to seeing them play as only England national team knows how to play and somehow lose this game 1-0.
Yeah, they did the opposite. They scored goals they shouldn't have scored.
Yeah.
Exactly right. I mean, what was that... That Lingard goal was absurd. I mean,
he scored that a couple times where he'll lace the ball into the upper 90s, basically from a little bit in front of the D, like
kind of near wild,
kind of near center, and yeah. That is one of his shots. That's one of the, you know, they talk about the Modric shot from the middle. He cuts it in and then bends a ball at the near post, and it seems to bend space and time. This one is more bent over the goalie. And it's his shot, and he hit it in a World Cup. You can't take anything away from him. You have to say, though, James, that Harry Kane with probably the ugliest World Cup hat trick ever.
Hey, God. Still a World Cup hat trick. Do you have one?
Yeah. No, I do not. No. Contrary to popular belief, I do not.
2 PKs and a deflection.
Yeah, that deflection was just like, he just kind of shrugs his shoulders like, oh yeah, well, see, I'll claim that
deflection
one.
To me is sort of like, I'd be annoyed if it was called an own goal, if the heel was a defender.
So would I. I would.
So you want to take that goal away from Harry Kane?
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm all for that in
principle.
No,
I absolutely
but
do.
I disagree.
Even if I was a Tottenham high Harry Kane fan, I absolutely would want to take that away. And I do believe... At the heart of at the core of Harry Kane's heart and soul, he doesn't believe that that's his goal.
Okay, that's wrong.
Get out of here.
But also,
he doesn't. There's no way. He didn't even celebrate. He walked off like, "Yeah, I'll take it."
Who would you give that goal to then?
Who shot it?
Loftus-Cheek did. But that's the point: is that it was a shot we'd have no idea what happens at that point. The only reason it's in the back of the net is because Harry Kane touched it.
I see your argument. I'm just saying.
I'm not disagreeing
with you.
I think it's Harry Kane's goal. Let's get back to the game here. 6-1, guys. 6-1, and as an England fans, Ken and I were going berserk and couldn't believe how well England was playing, even with Jordan Henderson playing for them. And the other side of the coin here is...
He looked all right, though, Tom, but he was playing with Panama.
He did. But the other side of the coin here is that Panama is woeful. What are they doing in the World Cup? Oh,
they scored their first World Cup goal ever.
That's great.
I don't like personally watching any game with a CONCACAF team in it because it just reminds me of the pain and suffering that we have to go through as United States national fans. No, James, any game.
James, your thoughts on Panama?
Yeah, well, what's the worst thing about Panama is it gives Bruce Arena a opportunity to pipe up with his ridiculous opinions.
He's selling a book.
I also did not like that Panama. I mean, I get it; they scored a goal, but you got smacked 6-1, and you're super pumped because you scored a goal.
There's another VAR incident in this game where Gomez almost shatters Lingard's cheek with his elbow.
True.
They don't even look at it.
Well, I think that VAR is sort of like we have to take kind of a technology approach to this with it. There's early adapters and then we're still trying to figure this out. Like, I don't even think that the referees fully understand when they can and can't use it.
Yeah, and my point about that is I agree. And so don't have that.
Don't have it until everyone's educated. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm with you. Look at us now, though. We're still finding a way to complain about it.
England here takes Panama to the sword and sets up a huge match with Belgium, as Belgium won big as well. They win 5-2 over Tunisia. I was expecting this game to be a little tighter because Tunisia played well against England. But honestly, Belgium ran away with this one early. Mm-hmm. Romelu Lukaku is just dominating from the very beginning. I've kind of gone away from the headlines here because these games didn't provide a lot of headlines. I mean, other than maybe in the last one, Kane and company roll through Panama. But I don't know. There's not much of a headline there. I feel like these are more little captions, you know. The same thing with the Belgium game here. Not a game you'd have to see by any stretch of the imagination. But Ken, Romelu Lukaku is alive.
Dude, he definitely is. And I will, you know, it doesn't pain me to say it. It actually gives me a little bit of joy to say this. I think it's just another product of, you know, another player who just can't reach his potential under Mourinho.
Oh, dude, he scored plenty of goals this year.
But he does better under Martinez.
Yeah, he does. I think he's the factor with Belgium right now.
He is definitely on a hot streak.
He's going wild.
I don't see him keeping it up for the rest of the tournament, though.
Yeah, it's only four games left.
he's got great support. Much better support than he has at United. So
okay.
Well, it's one of those things where, like, you look at, like, I think, like, the passerby fan, like, you hear Belgium and you're like, eh, whatever. You don't realize how stacked that team is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's tons of people around him. I know we realize it. I'm just saying, like...
He's got the best midfielder in the Premier League.
Quite possibly the best midfielder in the world, but,
Yeah, and also Hazard is looking pretty good right now. Mm-hmm. And I always thought that if Hazard could be on and feed Lukaku, then they would have a good chance. It's hard to say with KDB because he's playing so deep, but he's still making big plays. And that England versus Belgium match that's being set up, both teams sitting on 6 points.
And a 6-goal differential. What happens if they tie?
Oh, you don't want to know. It's goals scored.
Well, I just want to know who wins the group.
Yeah. It'd be goals scored next. And
if I put you on the spot here, don't worry. Don't answer.
It's fine. It's fine. They're even on goals scored as well. And
yeah, that's what I thought.
Goals allowed in the group. And I believe that Belgium has allowed more goals.
They've allowed more goals.
If they haven't, yes. But it's no longer the case.
Like, say it's a 0-0 draw, hypothetically.
Then it's head to head, and
England would win, right?
It'd be head to head with other teams in the group, and they'd probably get through that as well. Then it's yellow cards and red cards. points, which dude, actually I think England is lowest on.
Yeah. How cool is that, that like multiple groups are getting down to like that type of scenario?
It is awesome.
I think that even though US is not in it and we don't have like a real vested interest in it, I think this has been like one of the more exciting World Cups that I've witnessed.
Yeah, I'm rooting for chaos. I'm
rooting You're for chaos getting in
this
it.
World Cup. And if someone goes through based on drawing lots, I will be the happiest I've ever been.
Yes. How cool would that be?
I think the last time that happened, I believe, was 1990. And I think it was Ireland and Holland. I'll have to look it up. And I think Holland went through on the drawing of lots, which is absolutely a miserable way to be eliminated from the World Cup. I'd rather have a cold penalty kick shootout
this might
where you
be
wake
terrible,
everybody up at 3 o'clock in the morning and make them shoot penalty kicks than
this
do
might
that.
Be bad,
or the old MLS-style shootout.
I've watched soccer my entire life, and I don't know what you mean by drawing lots.
It's like, I mean,
literally
it's like
pick a number.
Yeah.
Short straw goes home.
Yes, that is it. That is it.
Sorry, lads, we got the short straw. We're going
to solve
home.
Any quarrel is rock, paper, scissor.
Hey, try that with your wife. See how that goes.
All right, so who's your rock, paper, scissor representative from England, and who's your rock, paper, scissor representative from Belgium?
Well, you got to pick Harry Kane.
Harry Kane versus Lukaku?
Yeah, no, not Lukaku.
Not Lukaku.
Marouane Fellaini.
Because he thinker. Can always hide something in his afro.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. It's going to be an awesome game. Roberto Martinez, the Belgian manager, has already come out and said that he's going to rest players. Ken, you think he's going to rest players? Do you think he's just screwing with the England psyche?
I don't think in a tournament-style event that you are afforded the ability to rest players when you're tied on virtually every single statistic that puts you to the top of the group.
You're not resting players if you care about finishing first or second.
Right, yeah. Do you want to win the World Cup or not? I mean, you have a better chance of winning the World Cup if you can win your group. Why would you want to even risk it? Go out and try to beat what I feel like is, you know, kind of a beatable English team if you have the likes of Belgium. Those players behind you. Like, play them. You get a good couple days rest. I mean, geez, act like you've played professionally before. I mean, during the season, you go sometimes every other day.
Yeah, I hate how some of these teams like Egypt not playing Salah in the first game.
Yeah,
they seem to be like game planning the tournament. You go out every game to win. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, annoying. It's annoying. You rest your best player, the only player that anyone knows anything about, and we'll save him.
Yeah, huge mistake. Dr. Pete not happy about that one either. All right, so England versus Belgium. Getting set up here. It's going to be a sweet one. This is the round coming up, the round of third matches, where everybody in the group plays at the same time. We did have that already. We're going to get into those games in a little bit. First, I want to talk about two more games that were very interesting. Colombia 3, Poland 0. Poland is out. James Lewis, Poland has been eliminated by, you mentioned the word cutthroat Colombia.
I was mentioning this about Poland when we were doing the previews of the groups. You can't just depend on Lewandowski to score goals. I mean, he didn't.
Nope.
And you don't have a defense to eke out draws or even close wins. So, I mean, Colombia is a good, solid team, especially with James playing as well as he did.
It's Jaime. It's James.
It's James.
I know you've been called him James.
Oh, my God.
Jaime is not a real name. So I'm going to go with James.
Whatever.
Hopefully nobody from Colombia listens.
Incorrect. We do have Colombian listeners. We do have Colombian listeners. Anyway,
should
James,
we apologize for James, for Jaime?
No. If they're still listening at this point, then they've... I mean, it's on them. Like, we've already apologized for all the co-hosts so far. But anyway, James, you were saying about Colombia having the offense and Poland just not having the right game plan.
Not having much of anything.
And they haven't had the whole tournament. They've got to be the most disappointing, I think the most disappointing nation there is.
This really highlights how ridiculous the FIFA rankings are.
Yeah, they're top 10, right?
Yeah, and how ridiculous the odds of winning the tournament were going into this. What were they, 40-1, 50-1?
Hey, don't you tell that to Tommy. Don't you tell anything about odds to Tommy. He'll die by the odds.
I just believe that people that are making the odds spend way more time and energy finding out the little things that we could never figure out. Mm-hmm. And I believe that their odds have shown true in this tournament.
I mean, you got Poland in a group with Japan, Senegal, Colombia. You give them 40-1. They have not one win. I don't think they have a goal.
Japan and Senegal are topping this group.
One goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, how wild is that?
Japan, well, there's something to that, though. Let's finish the Colombia game, then we'll get into the Japan and Senegal group, which is a lot of fun. But Colombia here really showed some balls, and I thought that they looked really like a strong contender. And you have to wonder, James, what would have happened in that first match against Japan if they didn't have a guy get sent off and a penalty kick in the second minute? They looked good.
They would have smacked them.
Yes, absolutely. They were, I don't know what Colombia was drinking before that game started. They were totally off center. Everything was wrong. They didn't. They kind of got their feet back under them, but then lost it again.
Yeah, I couldn't decide if is Colombia that good or is Japan just that bad. I mean, you played 90 minutes with a man down, and you almost got something out of it.
For sure, Japan has shown up, and we're gonna actually kick into that one now as we take a look at this group. Japan 2, Senegal 2, in one of the most fun games, I thought, Ken, in the World Cup so far, just in that Japan really had a lot of turmoil in their FA. They fired their coach in April, and they didn't look that great in qualifying. They changed their system and looked bad in friendlies. Like, they really looked like they were going to get walloped. I thought they were going to get walloped, and they showed all the steel they needed in this one. 2-2.
I like any game that goes back and forth, 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2. I like that from a neutral perspective. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have anything vested in Japan or Senegal. Don't care which one of them won. But in terms of watching, I mean, that was, it was really fun to watch.
I really like the Senegal team. I think they are very entertaining. And, you know, to be fair, I had completely written Japan off before this tournament started. I thought they would get 0 points. I thought they'd have a terrible goal differential. They're definitely proving me wrong. They've got a lot of fight. I don't know if it'll be enough to.
Yeah, I just think that Senegal is going to fall victim to the arrangement of matches. I mean, you're going against a Colombia team that's ready for it.
Yeah,
they're mad.
Absolutely.
So I think that they're going to fall victim to that. Yeah.
You know what's going to be the most fun about that Senegal Colombia game? To me, it's the battle of the best fans. Senegal's fans were drumming and dancing for 95 minutes straight. You could hear the drum beat going the whole time. That's incredible to me. And then Colombia's fans in their match against Poland just going berserk for 90 minutes. Like, these are home games for these guys, and they're like 9,000 miles away. That's incredible.
I've been thinking that, like, how wild it is to, like, watch all these games in the World Cup. Like, there's a meaningful amount of fans from every nation so far. It's like Russia is just like the middle point for the entire world. It seems like it's in Russia. It's pretty close. Let's go.
32,000 Australians are there. 32,000.
It's pretty crazy.
The Peru game was full of Peruvians. Like, this is incredible. That's why the World Cup is so awesome. Like,
there's so many Peruvian fans that they actually apologized to the fans for getting knocked out, right?
Yeah. Well, there were some other teams that had to make some apologies as well. Yeah. But Japan and Senegal, no apologies here in this one. Mane scores.
Go ahead.
Mane
go ahead.
Scores here. You have to be happy to see Mane score. Inui with a nice goal as well for Japan. And then Wagu for Senegal and Honda with a ball that, I mean, I would have never figured him to score. He just looked off the pace. But the guy is a World Cup talisman.
He might be Japan's biggest game player of all time, probably. I mean, that might not be saying too much, but I think he definitely turns it up in big games. He's done it wherever he's played club, and he did it today.
Yeah, I thought that was, just the whole game was a lot of fun. And going into the next match for these guys, Japan 4 points, Senegal 4 points, both of them on +1 goal differential. Colombia 3 points, but on +2 goal differential. So, and Poland is eliminated. But, I mean, you got a lot on the line in the Senegal-Colombia match. And if Japan beats Poland, they're through.
Right, but let's say Poland beats Japan and Colombia beats Senegal. There's still a way that Senegal gets through. I just like Senegal right now for some reason.
There is. There is. I mean, it's almost not even worth hypothesizing about some of these groups.
Like, I like how most of these groups, like, the last game still very much matters for a, a fair amount, for most of them, actually.
It does, and it's cool to see that. I mean, we saw that today with the matches. You had Uruguay, Russia, Saudi Arabia, Egypt. So Saudi Arabia, Egypt didn't matter at all, but Uruguay versus Russia, both teams sitting on 6 points, and the game really mattered here. So we'll start with that match, Uruguay 3, Russia 0, and this one, I was shocked because Uruguay had been playing this win-by-one, scrape-it-out kind of style that they do in the World Cup. And Ken, in this one, they ran rampant even before Russia got the second yellow.
Oh, absolutely. I think it was just kind of, I think a lot of people were putting a lot of emphasis on Russia and, oh, it's home nation advantage.
That's me.
But you have to look at who they played first. I mean, they come across.
Exactly. Egypt and Saudi Arabia.
The first club that, or the first nation that has anything to do, like anything worth holding the salt in your hand. And look at how they play. Look how they perform. Virtual no-shows. I mean, they smacked two teams that rightfully so any nation should smack. Now, should Russia have smacked them like the way they should have? Maybe not. I mean, I didn't expect Russia to come out 5-0 first game of the World Cup. But I expected them to win. But then you come up against a club like Uruguay who has attacking prowess, midfield holding capability, and a defense that's worth being a defense. And look what they did. Nothing.
Yeah, I thought Godin was excellent in this one. James, what's your thoughts on Suarez's free kick and what was Akinfeev doing?
Yeah, I don't know. He definitely wasn't ready for what happened. He's not the keeper that he used to be. He's getting up there. But just really poor play from him.
It's not the first time he's made that mistake, though.
No.
Like, I feel like the last World Cup he was in, he dropped the ball into the net. You know, he had a big-time howler that cost Russia big time. And in this one, you know, that free kick, so it's pretty much near center, maybe 25 yards out, and there's a wall to the left to block that side of the goal. But the shooter can see the rest of the goal. So he can see the right half of the goal if you're looking in. And it seemed to me that Akinfeev actually played for the ball to be bent around the wall, and Suarez just hit it at the post, and Akinfeev wasn't ready for it. Ken, yeah. I don't really understand how that went in.
I mean, I'm not a goalie. I've never played goalie in my life, but I just think on a free kick situation like that, I mean, you've got the likes of a Suarez taking it.
Yeah.
You're just picking. You put the wall where you think you should put it, and you go the direction you think that he's going to go, and every once in a while, a guy puts it ridiculously hard on the ground, and the wall jumps. You know, that's not exactly what happened this time, but, you know.
Oh, I disagree.
I think you're putting a lot of pressure on Akinfeev.
Don't guess on a free kick. You don't guess. You can't do that. You trust your wall, and you read the play. You can't guess on a free kick. You can guess on a penalty kick.
Read what
James,
play?
Settle this.
What play,
James.
Though?
Thomas, you're correct.
Oh, got it big. Ooh. Time. Whoa. So Suarez scores.
My stomach hurts. Oh my
Suarez
God.
Suarez scores, and then the man, the myth, the legend, Augie the own goal. Sherezhev own goal here. And then there was another one here that was a head scratcher. Russia was down, and really they were out. But Smolakov, with a pretty sweet World Cup here, he plays approximately 40 minutes before receiving two yellows. 36 minutes and gets sent off. I believe this is the third sending off of the World Cup, which is a record pace for the least amount of players sent off, which to me is awesome. I enjoy that. But a terrible sending off. Like, he got skinned alive and threw a tackle out there that you could never make, even if you're not on a yellow, and deservedly sent off. The Russians can be proud of how they played so far, but definitely exposed here. James, anything else to add for this 3-0 game as Cavani added a little bit of icing onto the cake and Uruguay takes the one spot?
I'd say this is just a culmination. This is everything that Uruguay wants to happen in a game. They're going to play solid defense, they're just going to try and have Suarez and Cavani come up with a couple goals. And that's what happened. And Russia having a guy sent off obviously killed any chance they might have had to come back. But I don't think they were ever in it anyway, because Uruguay was just so solid.
Yeah, especially in the midfield, I thought that Torreira was really good, and I thought that overall they controlled the pace of play. A quick mention here, Saudi Arabia 2, Egypt 1. And to me, the big mention here, Saudi Arabia, not the worst team ever at the World Cup. Mm-hmm. Egypt in contention now, more for their management of their team. And Ken, you know, we discussed it earlier. Dr. Pete was especially angry at how they basically decided that they're going to lose to Uruguay 1-0. So why play Mo Salah when the game's in the balance in the 70th minute? That to me was the decider in Egypt's World Cup fate.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to, you make a decision. Everything in life is based on a series of very little decisions that have put you in the place that you're in right now. And you decide, right. You look over at your bench and you see Mo Salah. You're like, man, you're coming off the season of your life.
Yeah.
But not today. And now you're going back to Egypt because of a very stupid decision to keep a non-injured, healthy enough to play Mo Salah that could have definitely turned that into a draw. The guy scores when he wants to, basically, and you leave him on the bench. I don't get it. I never will get it. I think that more so than the political issues that Mo Salah's finding himself in, or the political, you know, nonsense that he's finding himself in with the picture and everything, he would quit no matter what. Because you left me on the bench. Like, well, what's going to run out there on his own?
I don't think it matters if he quits or not. It's not like Egypt is going to make it to another World Cup.
No, I just think it saves Liverpool, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have to worry about you getting injured outside of our watch.
Yeah, that's fair.
Liverpool's the only happy crew in this whole thing because they're like, good. Next year,
but they're, you know, they're pretending to be really sad. Oh, we're so sorry. Oh,
so
God.
Sorry. The tweets were out today. Sorry, Mo Salah, that you have to take an actual 3 or 4 weeks vacation instead of
luckily
1 week
you
vacation.
You can't hear a chuckle on Twitter.
Yeah, that's very true. It's very true. So Egypt is disgusting. Eliminated
they're
embarrassingly.
Terrible.
The thing you were mentioning before, Mo Salah was photographed with the Chechenian leader.
The mayor of Chechnya.
Yes, and basically this leader is a far-right leader who has a lot of, we'll say, poor publicity, James. Is that how
it
would say it?
Let's go further and just say he has poor decision-making skills.
Yes, and we're not trying to get into anything political, especially not across the globe, but it was a poor decision from a PR standpoint with Mo Salah. I'm not sure how much he knew about it. I don't know. I don't know him. I don't know what his people are saying. But it is a big deal to a lot of people who think that he is now aligned with that kind of thinking. That, to me, is whatever. I don't think it has any bearing on this World Cup, and I don't think it's the reason that Egypt embarrassed themselves. Saudi Arabia, on the other hand, picked up their two goals. Al-Farajah and Al-Wazari, that's the best I can do. Both of them scored, overturn the Egypt game, and win 2-1. Good for you, Saudi Arabia, taking the 3 points and going back with your heads held high. Now let's move into the games that were so interesting today that you literally had to have two screens to watch them. Spain 2, Morocco 2. Ken Lee, what is Spain doing?
I'm not really sure, honestly. I'm not even sure. I can't even tell if I'm surprised or not because I didn't have too much going in with Spain in the first place. I think that they're going to make a run for sure. How far? Who knows? I mean, if you go on form, I mean, I think that they might be out soon, very soon, and everyone
just
will be
scraping
surprised.
Victories.
Well, I just have neutrality when it comes to Spain. Like, I don't see anything necessarily super special about them.
If Ramos and Pique continue to play this way, they're not going very far.
Oh, no way. Yeah, you can't rely on De Gea as much as they are in the knockout stage because you don't have any – there's no room for error.
Going into this game, I think De Gea was the only goalie that hadn't made a save.
Oh, wow.
And
that's incredible.
Yeah.
It's an issue. I mean, I can't even tell. Like, they're just – is it not playing to their ability? Is it that they didn't take it serious enough? I'm not sure. Like, I got neutrality when it comes to Spain. I mean, yeah, they should be eliminated. I wish they would have just gotten eliminated.
I would be with you if it wasn't for the fact that Iran is playing just the – ugliest game in existence.
Stoke ball.
Yeah.
Just stoke ball.
Stokeball if Stoke could defend well.
I mean, I don't know. I think Iran's a little hard done. I mean, they did win their first match on an own goal, so I don't really know if they should go through. But they put up a real nice fight against Portugal and probably should have won if you guys watched the end of that match.
Yeah.
But let's stick with Spain and Morocco here. Was it Ramos that spilled the ball for the first goal, for the first Moroccan goal? I know Iniesta had a part in it, and I didn't remember if it was Ramos or Piqué that spilled it. But basically, the ball gets squirted around. The center back takes a light touch on it, and all of a sudden, Boutaib just goes one-on-none with De Gea for the goal, 1-0 Morocco.
It's just bad defense. Like, I don't know what Spain is doing. I don't know how they feel like this is going to... Like, if this is the best they have, like James said, they're not making a fart. They're not making a deep run. I mean, this is not a majorly difficult group to go through. And they made it very, very hard for them. I mean, you have Portugal, who basically only has Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Morocco and Iran. Like, you should have won every single game.
They did fire their coach.
It doesn't matter. Look at the players they have on Spain. It's Real Madrid and Barcelona 2.0 on a national team against a group like this. This is quite possibly the easiest group there is.
But one of the recurring themes in this World Cup is the collective over the singular players. And
no, that's
they're
not
just
a theme
lucky.
Because Portugal is a single player. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah, they're the one team that's pushing against that. But Ronaldo missed a PK today. And
yeah.
Portugal had to do without him, basically, because he didn't score. But, I mean, that's true. He did win them two matches. Well, he got a draw in the Spain game. But he did get them 4 points single-handedly. But, you know, you look at the other matches that have been played in this World Cup, the downing of Germany, the draws with Brazil, France playing poorly. I mean, they're winning games, but they're playing poorly. So I would say that that's a theme in this one.
Maybe what it is you can't put too much emphasis on a group stage at this point. Let's see what happens at the knockout stage. And maybe now people, these clubs, these nations, they'll start hitting their stride. They'll start realizing that this is a World Cup. And if they mess their chance up, they got to wait 4 more years. And a lot of these guys, especially on Spain, they don't have 4 more years.
Yeah, especially the defense. All right, so let's get with the goal scoring in this one. Isco scores a goal here, his first of the tournament. He's been buzzing around. That made it 1-1. And then we had En-Nesyri with a 2-1 goal. And what a big boy header this one was, James. Climbing the ladder over Sergio Ramos and smashing the ball. What a header.
He dominated Ramos on that header. Maybe that sums up Ramos's performance in this game, but he got smashed.
Yeah. Great. I mean, how far does Spain expect to go in this tournament with the defense playing the way that they are?
What's weird for me is that usually I think when Spain has gotten together, they've defensively been pretty solid, relying on the Barcelona and Madrid players. And this tournament, it's just been the complete opposite. They've been a liability in every game so far.
I mean, they let five goals in.
Yeah, 5 goals. That's right. That's a ton of goals.
That's a lot of goals.
I'm trying to think of other teams. They're in the company with, like, Saudi Arabia and Egypt and teams like that have allowed 5 goals. I mean, that's
three
really,
games,
really poor.
5 goals let in by Spain, a team who is looked upon as someone who a nation that should win the World Cup.
Yeah, and they've been lucky enough to have some good goal scoring in these games, or else, I mean, they'd be out totally. I mean, they've been carried by their attack.
They were very close to being out here. In the 91st minute, Iago Aspas flicks in with his heel across at the near post, and VAR is required because he was called offside. And in the end, after 2 minutes, Spain gets the draw and lives another day in the World Cup, moving on to the knockout stages. And this is a case where, I don't know if you guys watched it, Ken, but the first time I saw it, I thought that he was offside. Thankfully, VAR corrected it.
I did see. I didn't watch the game. I watched the Portugal game. But yeah, I saw the highlight, and it did look like it. But yeah, I mean, when you go to VAR, it means proofs in the slow-mo video, you know.
That to me is correct use of VAR. And you should be doing
for
that.
For sure.
See, I just think VAR should be running constantly, and you take from it as you go. And if you get the call wrong, you go back and you correct it. They did it right this time. It took a little I mean, you're just looking at it all the time, and you can see if it's wrong or not by reviewing the video as the play is happening.
So, right? Do you have like a microphone and some guy just says, "Hey, you blew the whistle incorrectly"?
That's what they have right now.
They got a whole bunch of refs sitting in full match kit.
I think a system where you've got the ability to see a play from multiple angles in slow motion to make what everyone is assuming to be like the right call. You have that ability. Don't shield it behind another layer of subjectivity. Don't let the on-field ref make the decision when to use it, because they are the ones that, the reason why we have VAR is because they're prone to mistakes, or they're capable of making mistakes, right? So don't let him decide when it's used.
No, that is true. I think that is the single biggest issue with VAR right now, is it's the use of VAR is decided by the single person who is making the issue in the first place.
Right, exactly. So I like the use here. I think it was correct. And in the end, they got the right call, even though it was super close. Exactly. They did it.
They get it right here, and that's very important. As the Iran-Portugal game finishes, another game where Portugal fails to convince, a trend that's been going since the 2016 Euros that they actually won, is that they are failing to convince. They did it again here. Iran won, Portugal won. In this one, Cristiano Ronaldo misses a penalty kick. And Ken, I don't hear the outcry that I heard before about the Messi miss, because this game was a draw as well, but I didn't hear too much after this game because he's already won them 4 points.
I think, yeah, exactly. Exactly right. And I don't need to get into another argument about who I think is the best, because I can't stand either of these players. But to me, there's no argument of who is the best player on grass right now. It's Ronaldo. No question to me. There's no question. And you know my opinion of the World Cup, really all international play. I don't like to put too much pressure on these players when it comes to international play and the World Cup, because they only play with these players, unless you're Spain or Germany, every couple years. And then once every couple months during the year, like in a friendly, that doesn't matter. So to put this much pressure, but when you have this type of thing, you can only use it for what you can use it for. And right now it's to decide who's the best, Ronaldo or Messi. And it's Ronaldo. No question. Messi's terrible. He's not a big game player to me.
Okay.
He's not a big game player to me. He's not. He doesn't show up when it matters most for his nation. And it's arguable that he's great in Barcelona, because he's mastered that league. He's never even left. I mean, he's never even pressured himself.
That's too far for me.
He
got best player in the World Cup in 2014.
Who cares?
I mean, I think that is way overboard. I think this Argentine team is a disaster.
This Argentinian team is beyond a disaster.
Well, the team is an issue for sure. But
they're knocking each other out in training.
Yeah, they've got press leaks now where they're throwing down on each other after the match. And Mascherano goes to his press conference with a black eye. Did you see this?
They're a disaster.
No, they're a problem. They're a problem. Did you see that?
Keep going, James. Yeah, I want to hear about this black eye.
So, anyway, Pavon and Mascherano come to blows in the locker room after the game, where they're deciding who to play and what to play, because they're no longer going to be listening to the coach.
Right.
Because they've discarded him as useless. So he
is useless.
He is useless. But they've decided that they're going to pick the team, they're going to pick the tactics, and they're it comes to blows because Mascherano and Pavon can't agree. And Mascherano goes out there with a full-on shiner and gives his press conference and kind of is saying weird things. It's just like, it is bizarre.
Great presser.
What's going on with this team?
I thought they'd lose to Nigeria.
I don't think they do. I don't think they do. Because, this might be just wishful thinking from a guy that has Argentina winning the World Cup in his bracket. But they've got too much talent.
Might be true.
They have too much talent.
Might be some.
No, too much talent.
I'm with you, James. I'm with you. I'm a romantic in this case. I also think Lionel Messi is one of the best players ever to touch a ball. And I completely agree with you, Ken, on one
hand. But not
better
than Ronaldo. Not better than Ronaldo.
No. To me, Ronaldo has always edged him just the tiniest bit.
Ew.
Because I believe that Ronaldo can be dropped on any team in the world and still perform. And I think that Messi needs a little bit more help, just a little bit more help. But I think, that it's like you're talking about two of the top four players of all time. I have a problem with eliminating him from the conversation based on international play.
Do I go overboard when it comes to my distaste yes. of Messi? Never. Of course I do. Of course I do. Yes. I just can't stand him. But when it comes to the Ronaldo-Messi argument, I just find it very hard to even find an argument. And I can't stand either one of them. I can't.
It's a little bit disingenuous to claim that Ronaldo doesn't have a team built around him, because that Real Madrid team is 100% focused on funneling him the ball to score goals.
Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying for right now, for what we're watching right now, it's Ronaldo's show only. They might as well call it Portugal parentheses Ronaldo.
If you want to talk in terms of results, I think right now Ronaldo's doing better. But in terms of who's the better player, Messi has more to his game. Hands down.
No, I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true.
Ronaldo scores on free kicks. Ronaldo scores on headers.
Messi scores on free kicks.
The magician.
Messi scored a header against Manchester United.
You know what? I'll give you that. Messi's free kicks have come a long way, and I would actually say that he's probably better at Ronaldo at free kick percentage right now. Ronaldo still takes them.
His passing is 10 times better than Ronaldo's passing.
Maybe. But Ronaldo's headers, to me, are a huge factor in his game and something that I believe will not erode with time, and I think that gives him a big advantage. Furthermore, just the fact for me, the tiebreaker for me is that Ronaldo did it in the Prem. Not that the Prem is that much above
Spain. It's the fact
that
he played for Manchester United. That's the tiebreaker.
I will say, James, I hate Man United. I hate Ronaldo. I hate Messi.
Salah scored more. Did Salah score more in the Prem?
Yes, Salah scored more.
No, Salah scored more, definitely. Yes. I just think that there's something to be said for a player that goes out and puts pressure on himself to win in multiple leagues. And pretty much does it on his own. But besides your point, James, he does have a lot of support around him at Real Madrid. But, I mean, he does put, I think, a team on his back and says, if you won't do it with me, I'll do it for you.
I mean, if you're insinuating that Messi hasn't done that with Barcelona teams in the past, you're just wrong.
Barcelona? Like, are you telling me that Barcelona never had a... That's a different
Messi
shot.
And Ronaldo own all of the Ballon d'Ors in the last 10 years, okay? Like, we're splitting hairs here, and we're making it seem like there are gaps in between these guys. There are no gaps. It's exactly that. So let's not go too far with it. I choose Ronaldo. A person
topic.
5 feet to my left would say that they pick Messi. I just want to say that I don't think international play has anything to do with it, especially since coming into this tournament, Ronaldo really hadn't done anything in the World Cup, and Messi had won best player in the World Cup. There's a very decent chance that Portugal goes no further than not only the next match, but, I mean, they were almost eliminated from this one as Iran goes 1-1 here, nearly scores in the 93rd minute after getting an equalizer. And, I mean, if you're a Portugal fan, you came this close. You came this close.
The same. I mean, I don't see much coming from Portugal. I agree with you. I think that they probably out next round. First game of the knockout stage, I think they're out.
Let's look forward to the next round of matches here. We're finishing them up all the way through Thursday. Tomorrow's matches, Australia-Peru, Denmark versus France. France is already through, but Australia is duking it out with Denmark for a possibility to get through. Nigeria versus Argentina at 2 o'clock while Iceland plays Croatia. We just went over this match. I believe Argentina will get through. James thinks the same, perhaps because he has a little bit of money on it. Ken, your thoughts on Argentina versus Nigeria? I believe you said that they would lose.
I think that Nigeria beats Argentina, honestly. It has nothing to do with my, like, with anything ever. It's just current way that it's going on for Argentina right now. There's too much. It's a disaster.
Argentina is a team in crisis, and Nigeria is a good team. I mean, they have a good group of players, too.
I mean, all they need to do is tie.
That's true. And do you think that they're capable of sitting back and playing for a draw?
No, not Nigeria.
They don't have the team to do that. So
they don't have good enough defense or midfield to do it. They have to play their regular game. I understand that. But I just think that in the way that Argentina is, they quite possibly are the best team in the World Cup in the biggest crisis ever. It's the worst time ever for a crisis, and they're in it. I mean, you literally have 3 out of every 4 years to be in a crisis, and you chose the fourth year to be in a crisis.
That's very true.
Did you see the Argentinian national television did a minute silence for the national team? They had literally a minute of silence on air for the death of the national team.
That's how can hilarious. You not love soccer at That's that point? Fantastic. I mean, you have nations Absolutely. Stopping what they're doing for 60 full seconds because they themselves realize the ridiculous nature in which the talent pool that they have has been ruined by one man with no ideas.
Yeah, you're talking about the head coach, Sampaoli, absolutely here. So this group sits Croatia 6 points, Nigeria 3 points, Iceland 1 point, Argentina 1 point. If Nigeria can get a draw, they would be through. Unless, I think if Iceland smacks Croatia around somehow, they could move forward. They're at negative two.
3-0.
Yeah, things could get weird there, but I mean, really, you're looking at Nigeria versus Argentina, and I mean, Argentina has to overturn their negative goal differential, or just if they win and Iceland loses, they can get through. The other matches that we were mentioning before, Denmark versus Australia, not the match being played, but Denmark sits on 4 points, Australia sits on 1 point. So,
Denmark-France.
Yes, so Denmark would be looking to get a result there. Australia, not out of it, especially if they smack Peru around and Denmark loses to France. Another group that will be awesome to watch going forward. I mean, we got all these groups tightening up coming down the stretch. Mexico, Germany, Sweden, South Korea. We talked about them all 3 points apart, with Mexico sitting on 6 points but still in danger of getting knocked out. The final group we will quickly touch on, Japan 4 points, Senegal 4 points, Colombia 3 points, Poland 0 points. Talked about that as well. I mean, probably the best end of groups that I've ever seen in a World Cup.
The only thing I would add is that one thing that I've noticed here is the top tier teams not living up to their potential. And you have the mid to high mid tier teams looking like superstars. Croatia looks like the best team in this tournament right now.
Yeah.
And I think that they are going to go a long way. Although they have come out and said they're going to rest 10 players, up to 10 players for their game against Iceland. So you don't know what will happen there. But Croatia, I think, has a...
Like, it's crazy to me. Until the next game.
Ken, your thoughts on the group stages?
It's been super exciting. I mean, I've been pleasantly surprised by everything. I mean, I thought that I would be watching every game just miserably butthurt that the United States is not there. But, you know, I find a certain joy in watching England play the way that they're playing right now.
That's
and
right.
Another certain joy in watching the teams that we have touted as World Cup winners not showing up. But I do believe there is something to be said of, in a tournament bracket style like this, just simply making it out of the group stage means a lot. And then you start to really see the winning mentality of certain clubs. And I do believe that that free kick from Germany in the 95th minute, I think that has awakened up a Germany that everyone needs to be worried about. Now they know that they can win, and they should have been winning, and this is what it takes.
Getting the machine going with a quick defibrillator, absolutely here. All right, for James Lewis and Ken Lee, I am Tom Miller saying I hope everybody has an awesome week.
I don't think it was my best one.